In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Ni hao ma? If you're traveling to Taiwan or China or talking to Mandarin-speaking folks in here in the U.S., you will surely be greeted with ni hao ma, which means, how are you? Or literally, are you well? It is a familiar way to greet each other in Chinese. And I know that because Mark Dooley says it to me every Sunday. So I was taken back several years ago when I saw a friend who had just returned from visiting China. And instead of ni hao ma, he asked me, ni chi bao le mei, which means, have you eaten? Or literally, have you eaten your fill yet? But why would he ask me whether I've eaten? I had never heard this before, but he quickly explained to me that in certain parts of China, have you eaten was how people said hello. This greeting came from a time when people were dependent on the harvest. There wasn't always food on the table. So have you eaten really did mean how are you? When you know that one could be overcome with hunger or unsure about the next meal, you couldn't help but ask, have you eaten when you run into a friend? And if your friend hadn't eaten, you just might invite her in for a meal. Have you eaten? Are you well? Have you had enough to eat? They all meant the same thing. I mention this because for these past four Sundays, the gospel reading from John have all been about eating. 3 weeks ago, Laurel preached on Jesus' miracle of feeding 5,000 people. And the last two Sundays, Paula spoke about Jesus, our sustenance, as the bread of life. Even Jeannie mentioned to me that she was doing all she can to find 5 weeks' worth of music on bread and food and eating. And today, we read not only about Jesus as the living bread, but also about eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus. Have we had enough to eat? For these passages, Paula last week set the context for us. The Gospel of John was likely written toward the end of the first century. The early Christians in Israel were forming their identity apart from the Jewish community. As a minority group, they had been persecuted and marginalized, as many of them who were Jewish by birth no longer practiced the Jewish religion. So imagine being ostracized by your friends and your families and your neighbors because of your faith. And if you've ever been on the margins of society and trying to survive, the thing that keeps you going is to hold tightly onto the core values that sustain you and feed you. It may be all you've got. And this is what this passage is about. When the early Christians heard this passage being read in their house churches, they would be reminded of how Jesus offered himself as food for their spiritual hunger. And this was no longer just about bread, which can be made with human hands from materials like flour, salt, yeast, and water. But this was about Jesus' own flesh and blood, which made it so much more personal and sacrificial and real. Jesus was all they had for their hunger. You might have seen in early Christian art, one of the common symbols for Christ is the pelican. Being near the coast, we see pelicans on the beaches and over the water. The pelican represented Christ because when there was no food, a mother pelican would pierce her own breast with her beak to draw her own blood to feed and sustain her young. Wow. It is a haunting yet powerful image of sacrificially using one life to feed another. Jesus' invitation to partake in him is a reminder that sacrificing ourselves for others is the most powerful expression of love. The early Christians, in their desperation, were reminded by this passage that the experience of this sacrificial love feeds them in their time of need and desperation. So have you eaten? How are you? What are our cares and burdens where we are in need of experiencing God's love? How might we be hungering for Jesus today? Because Jesus wants us to feed on him and to receive the love that nourishes us. Now, in this passage, there was also another invitation. Jesus wanted his followers to let him be a part of him. "Eat me," he said. "Drink me. Take me in so that I can be a part of you as you are a part of me." Here the verb to eat is to gnaw or to chew, to really work at taking it in, to ingest, to digest, to absorb, really working at taking it in. In Hebrew, the combination of flesh and blood meant the whole person. So here Jesus wanted his followers to take it all in, take in all that Jesus was about, to be nourished, and then to be transformed from within. Those who eat his flesh and drink his blood take all of him in, so much so that they would embody him, become like him, and live out what he was about. Bishop Angus Dunn, former Bishop of Washington, put it this way: "To feed on Jesus is to take his thoughts within our minds so that his thoughts become a living part of us. It is to take his affections into our hearts so that we come to love what he loves." So how have we been eating? What is going into our bodies? Are we eating anything we can get our hands on just to feed our hunger? I've certainly have moments when I've snacked on junk food all day long, that by the time dinner comes around, I no longer had room for a really good, nourishing meal. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. In his book, Eucharist as Touchstone, Richard Rohr wrote, "Somehow we have to make sure that each day we are hungry, that there's room inside of us for another divine presence." He wrote that if you are filled with your own opinions, superiority, sufficiency, you are world unto yourself, and there is no room for another, not even God. It may be easier for us to think about feeding on a good meal or on a good book than sometimes thinking about feeding on Jesus. So Rohr is imploring us to make room, to let ourselves feel the hunger. Then we know, we will know what is real food and what is real drink, and have room for God's presence in our lives. So Jesus is inviting us first to experience this radical self-giving, to humbly receive this gift of love. Jesus also invites us to feed on him, to take him all in, so much so that we might love what he loves and do what he does, that we might live out that same self-giving for others. In just a few moments, we will celebrate Eucharist together. Some of these exact same words from our gospel reading are in the Eucharistic prayer. Let us listen closely to those words. Eucharist is a time not just to eat bread and to drink wine, but to experience Christ's sacrificial love. It is also a time to take Christ in, to allow that love to transform us. Rohr writes, the Eucharist is telling us that God is the food, and all we have to do is provide the hunger. As Episcopalians, we celebrate Eucharist as often as we can, because we need God as our food. All we need to do is to bring our hunger. All we can do is to be present and to take it all in. So how are you? Have you eaten? And what are you hungering for? May God, who gives sacrificially, meet us in our deepest hunger today. And may God transform us as we seek to feed on and to be filled with God's love. Amen.